towed by the one that had brought them down to this depth. Deirdre watched in silence as they glided through the massive formation of the majestic creatures. They seemed to move away from Faraday, making an avenue for their vessel and the enormous animal that was towing it. The ride was fairly smooth, nothing like the shaking, violent dive earlier. Deirdre's chest still hurt, but the pain seemed no worse than before. "I can stand it," she told herself as she stared at the screen's displays. "I can put up with it."
"Where's he taking us?" Jaeger asked.
"Deeper into the herd," said Corvus.
"Into the center of their formation," Dorn added. "Why?" Jaeger demanded. "What's he up to?"
With the fragile alien in tow, Leviathan moved slowly, carefully through the kin. Ahead, at the core of their formation, waited the elders. There were five of them, always five. When the eldest had left the kin to sacrifice itself to the waiting darters, another member of the kin became an elder. There had to be five. Why, Leviathan did not know. But it had been so for longer than the memory of the eldest among them. The elders hovered around Leviathan and the strange, hard-shelled creature in its tow. "Here is the alien," Leviathan signed to them. In unison, all five of the elders signaled. "Your replicant told us that you had gone back to find it." "It appears to be intelligent," Leviathan flashed. "It is slow, but it is capable of mimicry. Perhaps it can communicate with us, tell us of its world." For long moments the elders remained dark. Then the new eldest asked, "Why is it attached to you?" Leviathan replied, "It is small and weak. We allowed it to attach itself so that we could bring it to you."
"It could not find us on its own?" asked another of the elders.
"Perhaps it could, but towing it seemed better. More certain." Again the elders went dark. Without waiting for them to ask, Leviathan showed them how the alien helped fight off the darters when it was budding. Instead of showing gratitude, one of the elders signaled hotly,
"It interfered with the symmetry!"
"It saved our life," Leviathan flashed back. "It allowed us and our replicant to add to the kin."
"Darters are a part of the symmetry," signed the disgruntled elder. "For all of existence, we of the kin have lived with the darters."
"And died with the darters," Leviathan shot back.
"Thus it has always been. Thus it must always be. That is the symmetry."
"Why must it always be?" Leviathan demanded. "Perhaps the alien is showing us a better way."
"Destroying the symmetry is a better way," the elder signaled in glaring blue.
"The daughters are changing their ways," Leviathan pointed out. "They are coming against us in larger numbers than ever. They cut us off from a stream of food. We should change our ways to meet this new challenge." The eldest lit up in solemn green.
"It is the alien that poses a challenge to us. Why is it here? What does it want of us? How will it affect the symmetry?"
Andy Corvus pinched two fingers over the bridge of his nose as he studied the slowed-down replay of the Leviathan's colorful displays. "Even in slow motion, I can't make much sense of it," he admitted. Pointing to his screen, he continued, "I mean, That circle there has got to represent us. See, it's attached to one of the beasts, just like we are. Deirdre nodded. She, too, had put the computer's slowed imagery on the central screen of her console. And those look like those shark things. Nodding back at her, Corvus said, I think he's telling those others about how we fought off the sharks when he was attacked. Could be, Deirdre said. Dorn and Jaeger were still watching the real-time displays.
They're jabbering away at one another, Jaeger said. Looks like a fireworks display. Perhaps we should try to get their attention, Dorn suggested. Show them that we can communicate. How? Jaeger demanded. Show them where we come from, said Dorn. Draw pictures of the planet, then the solar system. Point out that we come from Earth.
That wouldn't make any sense to them, Corvus objected. They have no idea that they exist in a planet, I betcha. All they know is this enormous ocean. Deirdre said, We could at least show them that we come from outside the ocean.
Still looking doubtful, Corvus replied.
And how are you going to do that, Dee? She smiled tightly at him. Let me draw something. Maybe I can get a visual image across to them.
Jaeger tapped a finger against the mission timeline display on Dorn's console.
We're due to pop another data capsule in half an hour. How do you think they'll react to that?
Catherine Westfall. She was in misery. Her stomach bloated, gas expelling itself in loud, obscene outbursts. Her comfortably furnished bedroom had become a prison cell. I can't let anyone see me like this, Catherine Westfall told herself for the 100th time that hour. I'm a prisoner, an exile until this horror passes, if it ever does. She had ripped off her clothes, and now wore nothing but a floor-length dressing gown of pure silk, pale dawn pink, decorated with muted oriental scenes of graceful gardens and languid women in kimonos. She broke wind again, and ground her teeth at the shamefulness of it. The stench! If I ever get the chance to destroy Archer! The phone chimed. Who's calling? She asked. The data bar at the bottom of the screen spelled out, Dr. Grant Archer. Westfall went to the desk and sat primly on its cushioned little chair. Answer, she said, huddling close to the screen so that the phone's camera could see little more than her face and shoulders. Archer's dead, serious face filled the screen, strangely boyish, despite the fringe of iron-gray beard.
I reviewed the data from their capsule, he said without preamble. They've definitely established meaningful contact. The Leviathans communicate visually. They produce pictures on their flanks.
Congratulations, Westfall said acidly.
I thought you'd like to know.
Thank you. For a moment, Archer fell silent. Then,
actually, I called to ask you a question.
Did you?
Why?
Archer's expression became almost pleading.
Why did you want to stop the mission so badly that you were willing to kill those four people?
You scientists have killed lots of people, she said, all the old anger and hatred simmering anew inside her.
People have died in the pursuit of knowledge, that's true,
Archer admitted.
But we've never set out to deliberately murder anyone.
Those missions into the ocean. How many have been killed on them?
Archer's expression hardened. I was on one of those missions. We stopped sending people down there for more than 20 years.
But you started again.
On a much safer vessel. There are risks, of course, but now we...
You murdered my sister!
Westfall blurted. Your sister?
Elaine O'Hara. She was my sister.
Lane is dead?
He looked shocked by the news. She's dead. She never recovered from that death ride you sent her on.
But I didn't send her, Archer said. I was one of the crew.